This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful, and I mean beautiful, New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Guess what day it is? It's a Wednesday. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. Number to hang with us is always 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You could always give me a follow, shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We got a whole lot to do today. Coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, we will talk to Quinnen Williams, formerly of Alabama, just wrapped up year number two with the JETS Jets. He's been in some trade rumors, and there's been some conversation about him being traded for Deshaun Watson. Now, if I'm the Jets, I would keep him and just give up more picks to get Deshaun Watson if you could acquire Deshaun Watson. However, if that was the end-all be-all and the Texans said I needed Quinnen Williams, who's a fantastic young player, just had a monster second season in the National Football League, and I really like his personality, if the Texans said I definitely need that to go give you Deshaun Watson, yeah, you would sacrifice Quinnen Williams. So even with what we just said about him, he will hopefully join us coming up in 2 hours from now. And then at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, we will talk to a former Arizona Wildcat, then transferred, played this last year at West Virginia, had a monster Senior Bowl week. We will talk to the draft prospect in Tony Fields. We're coming to you live, as always, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. We need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can. I'll start off with the NBA in just a second. I don't usually intend to start the show off with Sean Mraz, but I just got to throw one thing out there because I saw something right before we came on the air, and we all know Sean. We all love Sean, right? He's the co-host and producer of the morning show with the DA show, Damon Amendola, you know it, right here on CBS Sports Radio, many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, and the radio.com application. I got to be a good company guy and promote everyone. You know, we get promoted by the other shows, we promote the other shows. We're one big happy family here. You know that Sean's on vacation right now with his 10,000 posts, right, Ryan Tracicki?
Hard to miss, like you just said.
Does it annoy you when someone goes on vacation? And I'll be fair here, I would probably do this as well. Not that I would be tweeting at an obsessive rate, but I would put out a few tweets. Oh, look at this great weather that I have here in Florida. It's 80 degrees. I don't know if I'm going like Sean and taking my shirt off and taking photos with hockey players' grandfathers, which he did do. You can go on his Twitter page to find that, Mraz CBS. Would you be someone when you go on vacation there, Ryan Tracicki, if you're in a nice, warm area, and we're here in what is supposed to be the cold Northeast in February, would you kind of be rubbing it in your coworkers and also your friends' faces? Look where I am. Look at the tropical weather I'm dealing with when you're probably dealing with some snow or some frigid temperatures in the Northeast. Would you be that guy?
I wouldn't rub it in per se, but I would drop one. I think probably one is good enough as a reminder, like, hey, you know, enjoy the cold Northeast. Like I said, here I am on a beach, 75 and sunny, no big deal.
So I saw Sean did that today. I guess today was the day that he said, hey, how's the winter, everybody? Today, it's a wonderful weather day here in New York City. I left my apartment in a jacket. After a block, I had to take the jacket off. It's got to be 50, 55 degrees. Yes, we're not Florida, but wouldn't you agree that today felt as if I didn't tell you what month it is, what month would you guess just based by the weather?
This had a feel of like opening day. Like, right? I would say April, early April.
But a warm opening day.
Yes.
Because like sometimes you could get to opening day could be frigid. You could be freezing. You could have the jacket on. But this is a day where it could be opening day baseball, you would think. So early April, and this isn't the opening day where you're wearing the knit hat, the earmuffs, and the big heavy jacket. This is the opening day where you go, I'm going to wear my baseball jersey, and I could go sweatpants, but I'm actually going to go shorts to the stadium. That would be my scouting report. So I'm actually happy today was the day where Mraz decided to rub it in our faces because the weather will kind of fight back. Look at him. Oh, I'm on a nice vacation. Nice weather. I'm at the pool. Well, we have nice weather here as well today. Now, we don't have the palm trees. I don't think we have the pools here in New York City, so I am still a little bit jealous. So I did get a chuckle out of that as I saw that on, I think it was my Instagram story, right before the show did start. Anyway, forget about Mraz. Let's get right into the sports talk here. And we start off with the NBA. And this is why I want to talk about the NBA right out of the gate. Because I want to talk about one team that is severely disappointing so far to kick off this NBA season. When I went into this season, I told you that I really only viewed 3 to 4 teams of having a shot of winning the title. 2 in the East, 2 in the West. Where I felt as if you made me pick 4 teams to win a championship this year, these would be the 4 teams that I would go with. Brooklyn, the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers. Those are the 4 teams. Now, you look at those 4 teams. The Lakers, they're not playing their best basketball right now because Anthony Davis is hurt. They do have what some are saying is a statement game tonight, which is ridiculous, up against the Utah Jazz. But overall, I'm not pressing the panic button on the Lakers yet until we get more clarity on what Anthony Davis is. Now, if Anthony Davis in 3-4 weeks is still dealing with this injury, and we don't know when he's coming back, and when he comes back, he gets banged up again, and he has to miss more time, then I would be concerned about the Lakers. Why? Because the Lakers can't win a championship this year if Anthony Davis isn't healthy. We're currently, though, at the end of February. Is it time, after a poor last 3-4 games without Anthony Davis, to press the big fat red panic button with the Lakers? No, it's not. The Clippers, I don't care what the Clippers do in the regular season. They are one of those teams like the Bucks of last year, where because they were so good the year before and had the shortcomings in the postseason, it really doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. Their season doesn't start until the postseason. When you get to Milwaukee, they've not been the most polished product this year. I do think they will be fine going into the postseason. Once again, though, they got to be a team that gets to the finals this year, because then you're missing the window that you have and the opportunity that you have. And last week we talked about Mike Budenholzer and how there's been some pushback there from Bucks fans. And then you look at Brooklyn. Brooklyn going into this year, they had something to prove in the regular season. Once they did acquire James Harden, though, yes, they've had good regular season games. However, there is not going to be much that Brooklyn could really do to wow you in the regular season, even though they have been probably the most impressive team so far this year, other than the Jazz. Brooklyn, with how good of a start they've been off to, and also how Brooklyn has been a team that, I don't want to say, you know what, they've already exceeded expectations. They showed you that KD, I know he's been missing games, he's going to miss the next game too, but there's no concerns about where KD's game is at. Kyrie and Harden are getting along, which is good, but really when they made that trade for Harden, it became we'll judge you in the postseason because of how much they did give up with the picks. So those are my four teams going into the year. The Bucks, the Nets, the Lakers, and the Clippers that I thought were the only four teams I could envision winning a championship. So you get to the rest of the landscape of the Eastern Conference. And if I had to give you two more teams in the East before the season did start on who were those two teams that could get to the finals, I would have said the Sixers, not really with the great sense of belief in them, and the Sixers have done a nice job so far, and then the Boston Celtics. I'll get to Boston in just a minute. In the Western Conference, we talked about Denver. Before we found out that Klay got hurt again, we talked about the Warriors. We talked about Portland. Utah has been that surprise team. And where we currently sit here, if you maybe pick three from the East, three to the West, that could get to the finals, well, the Lakers and Clippers, I'm not moving off, and you put Utah in the mix. Now, if you had to do that in the East, three teams that could get to the finals, the team that would not be in out of the four that I mentioned earlier would be Boston. It would be the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Brooklyn Nets. So let's get into the disappointment of the Boston Celtics. Because when I look at the teams that I'm most disappointed in through basically the first half of the season with the All-Star game coming up next week, you could say the Pelicans have been disappointing. Not that I thought the Pelicans were going to be great. I wanted to see them take that next step. And when they're currently sitting at 13-17, they've been underwhelming. You look at a team like the Heat. Even with, I've been someone, I got into this fight with Shep, who, as much as I love Shep, I kind of lost all respect for him last week when he said LeBron is not a top five player of all time, which, you know what, I don't even want to waste the audience time rehashing that take from David Shepard. See what happens when you take off, by the way, Ryan Tracicki? You take off to go skiing with your girlfriend at Camelback, and I have to deal with Shep, who I like, but that take, how did you see that, by the way? I'm assuming you saw it when Shep did say that LeBron is not a top five player of all time in the NBA, which is
I saw it. And from your tweet.
Oh,
you put the tweet out, quote-tweeted it, and I forgot the emoji you used, but it was like a head banging on the table or something. It's like, oh. One of those where you just kind of shake your head, roll your eyes, and you know what? Close out of the app. I've had enough for today.
When he said that, if I could give someone a swirly at work, and I'm saying, pick him up, dump him in the toilet, you know, just dunk him in the toilet and flush the toilet and not have any repercussions here, I'd get fired if I did. That would actually be good publicity. Radio host gets fired for giving producer a swirly. Man, maybe I want that on the resume. How much would it cost me, by the way, to give you a swirly? Not that you had this take, it was Shep. How much would it cost?
I don't want to be the one getting the swirly.
If I said, here's the price, you name your price to take a swirly, a fair price at work, what would it be?
$10,000.
$10,000, that's it? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting fired, so I'd keep my job.
But then I can't get fired because you're in agreement of this.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, hold on. You are willingly doing this.
I would say willingly.
For $10,000, you're agreeing to do it. It's not as if I'm not giving you something for this swirly to occur.
I don't know if I could work in this profession again if that's maybe 50K.
I don't know if you want to be that guy. Hey, I was the producer that got the swirly.
Oh, you're the guy who got this. Oh,
you're the crap head.
Swirly guy over here. Exactly. That's tough.
Maybe I'll Venmo you imagine if I just Venmo you $10,000.
In the break. All right, let's go.
We may need Mraz to come back to put something in the toilet if I'm giving you $10,000.
Okay, no, I'm quitting.
But anyway, Shep had such a ridiculous take. But see what you leave me here with when you take vacation? I don't want to guilt you and shame you.
I was just going to say.
With the vacation, because I hate when people do that, but geez.
There goes the rest of my PTO for the year.
Yeah, so anyway, getting back to my disappointment here before we got on the take of giving Shep a swirly. I have been disappointed with the Pelicans. The Heat, and I said this to Shep, and he was mystified, I guess, would be the correct word. It was almost as if I said the craziest thing ever, which I don't think this is a crazy statement. I didn't expect the Heat to be a championship contending team this year. Did you agree with that? When you hear that assessment, going into the season, I said, I don't expect the Heat to be a championship contender. Would you have agreed with that, or would you have disagreed with that in the moment? Because they did go to the finals last year.
They did. I think I would have especially coming into the season, I probably disagreed. Just like I said, they made it to the finals. They returned essentially everybody from that team. I would have given them the benefit of the doubt and said, you know what, put them in the finals conversation.
So not that I thought they'd be a bad team, but I just didn't think I'd view them as a championship contender, because really at no point last year in both parts of the regular season did anyone say, wow, this Miami team is going to go to the finals. It kind of came out of left field, nowhere. And yes, they got a good roster with Jimmy Butler. I love Bam Adebayo. I love Tyler Hero. I just did not believe that this team, I thought they'd be a top six, top five team, but I didn't think that they were going to be a team that you went into the postseason saying, oh, watch out for Miami. They could go on a championship run. And I have been disappointed now with the Heat, even with that being said, because they're currently 14-17. The other two teams that I'm disappointed with, the Mavericks, I know they had a big win last night up against the Celtics, and Luka Doncic hit that shot. For them to be 15-15, some people were talking about maybe the Mavericks could be a dark horse contender to be one of those teams that gets out of the Western Conference this year and gets to the NBA Finals. Or maybe they'd be a team that could be in the Western Conference Finals. For them, 30 games in to be 500 is a disappointment. But the most disappointing team, and basically taking the baton from the Sixers last year, out of teams that you thought of something going into the year, the Boston Celtics. Boston has two All-Stars. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, as we found out about last night. And the Boston Celtics currently sit one game below 500 at 15-16. And Boston through the years, I'm not saying we viewed them as a legitimate title contender, but they've been in the conversation. If you recall, the year where they lost Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, they did get to Game 7 up against the Cavaliers when LeBron was still there, and they lost that Game 7. But that wasn't something that you look back on in a ill manner or you look back on with the critical eye. Last year was the first year I was actually critical of the Boston Celtics with Brad Stevens as the head coach. And here's why. They had so many gifts last year. You had Milwaukee eliminated, and there were so many games, even though you were winning, like that series up against the Raptors, it should not have gone as far as it did. And then when you really look at it and you got to the Eastern Conference Finals, there was just so many times in the postseason last year where Boston would have a lead in the fourth quarter and they couldn't slam the door shut. So last year I thought was the first time you could actually be critical of the Celtics, because whenever you lose in a conference finals, even if you weren't expected to win like what they were faced against a few years ago up against the Cavs, people will be critical. But last year, I thought the criticism was warranted, because there was leading up to that conference finals and then during the conference finals where there were times they were the better team and they just blew it. To see what Boston's doing this year, it's disappointing being a game under 500. And if I would have told you before the season they would have two All-Stars, we all know what Tatum was going into this season with the year that he had. But Jaylen Brown, for him to take that next step, where some argue he should have been an All-Star last year, to be an All-Star this year, you would have thought Boston would be right in the top three seeds of the Eastern Conference. And the only reason why they still have somewhat of a decent seed right now in our playoff team is because the East is not good. They're a game below 500. And now Brad Stevens' job isn't in jeopardy. It's not. But he deserves to be criticized here, because they just gave him an extension. That's why his job isn't in jeopardy. But Brad Stevens, who is well-liked, I think is a good coach, you got to take that next step. And last year, your team failed. And this year, with two All-Stars, you're failing again. And you go through, and it's a rare part we really criticize coaching in the NBA these days, because if the Nets don't win a championship, no one's blaming Steve Nash. He's not the one running the team. If the Lakers fail to win a championship this year, you shouldn't be blaming Frank Vogel. If the Clippers don't win a championship this year, I know that they just fired Doc Rivers. I'm not blaming Ty Lue. But with Boston, when things were going right in the regular season the last few years, and maybe they went on longer runs than what people expected, everyone's praising Brad Stevens. So let's be fair here, and let's also be critical when things aren't going well. And I'm not saying it's all on Brad. But this team, for what they've done in this first half, they've been the most disappointing team in the NBA. And if they would have won a championship last year, Brad would have got most of the credit. So when things don't go right, it seems a little bit fraudulent to me to not criticize the coach. And there's not many coaches that you can be critical of in the NBA that have realistic championship expectations. Boston, they had legit expectations this year. Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, and the players, even with two All-Stars, they're failing right now. And I'm stunned. Not that I love this team going into the year, but I did think that they had a shot in the East, and I'm stunned, little over 30 games in, that this team is a game under 500. The Boston Celtics are the most disappointing team in the NBA this season. What are some other things that have disappointed you this year in the association? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We'll break when we come on back. A certain Steeler wants to return. Maybe not the one that you think we would talk about. And also, are the Steelers going to be a playoff team in 2021?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
At the end of the day, I want to have my legacy in Pittsburgh and retire there.
Really?
Yeah, I want to leave, yeah.
You started there, you want to finish there?
Oh, yes, sir.
But you could see yourself in a Chargers jersey, maybe Rams?
Not ideal. Not right now. Until I actually get let go. Other than that, I'm Pittsburgh for life.
So that last part is what kind of threw me off there a little bit. So he doesn't want to leave, but until I let go, I'm let go, I'm Pittsburgh for life. Here's how I kind of interpret that. Because when I see it on Twitter today, I go, wow, Juju Smith-Schuster says I want to have my legacy in Pittsburgh and retire there. I don't want to leave. That's a pretty emphatic response that he wants to stay a member of the organization. You want to know how I interpret this? And you're kind of the judge of fair or unfair on the show. I don't know if that's fair that I am and fair or unfair that I'm putting that much power on you. But since you're the only other person in studio on this show, I kind of use you as a sounding board to tell me if I'm out of line or if I fall in line here. I kind of, when I hear that, I interpret that entire quote and the tone I get from that quote is, yeah, I would love to stay in Pittsburgh, but if they don't want to pay me the certain rate that I'm owed and they quote unquote let me go as a free agent, then I'm down to sign somewhere else. I think that is Juju Smith-Schuster. And you tell me fair or unfair. He is setting up Pittsburgh to look like the bad guy if Pittsburgh doesn't get a contract extension with him. What's your ruling, Judge Ryan Tracehickey?
It's tough because I don't think, like, he doesn't have to set that up. It's already kind of out there. You know, like, obviously they have major cap issues. They're trying to desperately even just keep Big Ben around maybe or not to figure that out. But they are, like, essentially in the cap hell with so many free agents to address that. I don't know if he has to, like, I think he could have easily, if that was the case, where he wanted to maybe try to weasel his way out of it more, I think he could have been like, you know, we'll see, cap's tight, hopefully they can meet my price. I think it could have been less definitive and gotten away with it.
Is he a little delusional? Not off that quote, but you would anticipate that Juju Smith-Schuster, if you asked him, are you going to get wide receiver one money, he's going to say yes, right? He probably views himself as a number one wide receiver, I would anticipate.
I would agree with you, yes.
And to me, he's not a number one wide receiver. We've seen it the last 2 years. He's good. He could have some great games, but we don't see the consistency day in, day out, number one wide receiver. And I don't care what he did statistically in that playoff game up against the Browns, because I know people are going to say, oh, well, his stats were awesome. He did nothing in the first half. That was 28-0 at the end of the first quarter. And he was the one that said the Browns is the Browns. That was him. He put that unwarranted attention on himself. You know, it was actually warranted because he just went out of his way to say something. He didn't have to do that. And I really do compare how the Steelers ended their season this year to how it ended a few years ago up against Jacksonville, where they went into that game up against the Jaguars in the divisional round. They showed the Jaguars no respect, and they got their butts kicked. And this time around, it was the same thing. They didn't think for a single second, not that you go into a game thinking that you're going to lose, but they looked at the Browns and said, oh, it's Cleveland. It's the lovable losers. Oh, they're in the playoffs. Oh, this is an anomaly. They don't deserve to be here. We could give you our C game, and we'll still beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, because at the end of week 17, if you recall, a week before that, that was a Steelers team that was pretty much all rested. They weren't basically playing anyone. It was the JV team, and the Browns just won by the skin of their teeth. So I think their hubris really did lead to their downfall. They were overconfident. It led to their downfall, and it showed with Juju Smith-Schuster. When I sit here today, I don't care if Juju wants to come back or not. I think even he knows if you tell him, if we inject him with true serum, do you think you're going to be back in Pittsburgh? I think he's going to say no. That he doesn't think he's going to be back because they're in a bad salary cap space. He's not a number one wide receiver, even if he thinks he's a number one wide receiver. And we know how Pittsburgh has produced wide receivers throughout the years. I don't think you overpay for Juju Smith-Schuster. And I'm not going to necessarily say he's a number two, because when you're a number two, you're considered like good, above average, you know, a contributor. I think he's more of a one and a half. He's an in-betweener, right? Sometimes he shows he could be a one, but I wouldn't call him a number one wide receiver, and he's not bad enough where you give him the number two tag. He is a one and a half wide receiver. Well, he'll give you 3-4 games where you go, wow, this is the number one guy. And then there's other games where you go, yeah, this guy is not our number one wide receiver. So to me, I don't think it is very important, and I don't think it's imperative that they bring him back. They need help on that run game because they were the 32nd ranked rushing offense last. Let me translate for you there. They were the last rushing offense in the league this past year. That's got to change. All right, so if Big Ben is coming back to the Steelers, here's our poll question today. What will the Pittsburgh Steelers do in 2021? Will the Steelers make the playoffs in 2021? At Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. Yes, AFC North champs. Yes, wild card team. And no, they will not make the playoffs. Those are the three options. 56.1% of you right now say no, they won't make the playoffs. 34.8% say yes, they'll be a wild card team. And 9.1% of you believe that they'll repeat as AFC North champions.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Ba-na-na. Ba-na-na-na. Bump. Ba-na-na. Ba-na-na. Bump. Ba-dum. Bump. 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 You can think of Rally Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at Rally Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Poll question today. Will the Steelers make the playoffs in 2021? Yes, AFC North champs. Yes, as a wild card team. Or no. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Tim in Charlotte. He's first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, Zach. Thanks for taking my call, bud.
No problem. What do you got for me today?
I agree with you. I think the window was shut the year they lost to Jacksonville, and I wanted Tomlin gone then, and I do want him gone now after the despicable loss against Cleveland. I think it's time for Ben to go. As much as I love the Steelers. I'm a diehard Steelers fan. But reality is, I think he should go and Ben needs to go because what's one more year with Ben? They're not going to really do him much. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. So as much as I hate to say it, I do want him to start rebuilding and because I don't think they have the quarterbacks on the rosters to go anywhere. That's just my opinion.
So two things, Tim, and hang with me. Just on your sure. Big Ben point, I'm okay if they elect to say, Ben, you're not coming back. They got to reduce the price tag. I know that you probably need to extend him to spread out that money, but I would not make any serious financial commitment to him next year. Like the goal should be this is the final year of Big Ben because you don't have that alternative to go to somebody else. And if he's not on your roster, you still have to pay him $22 or $23 million. But put that aside, your point on Tomlin. Why do you think they should move on from Tomlin? Because I know that some Steelers fans don't love Tomlin, but really the last year, two, 3 years, I think the sentiment has grown in favor of Tomlin, especially last year when in 2019 they didn't have a quarterback and you did see them go 8-8. I know that's not great for Steelers standards, but when you lose Big Ben the second week of the season, a lot of people were killing him for trading Minkah Fitzpatrick because people thought that they were going to be a 3 or a 4 win team. So expand a little bit further on the Tomlin point because I'm curious about that.
I agree with you there, too, because I didn't really like the trade for Fitzpatrick either. I figured the season was lost. They had Ben was gone, the third game of the season, and I really wanted that draft pick, and it turned around. But you also look at the schedule that year, too. Look at the schedule they played. They didn't have a great schedule that year, so I think a little bit of that was a smokescreen, I believe. But I just think it's time for Tom. I mean, I like Tomlin. I think he's a good coach. He'll land somewhere, but I just think when you had Bell, when you had Brown, and you just couldn't get past the Patriots. Not that many teams could get past the Patriots. I get that, but I think the window closed 4 years ago. And do I think Tomlin can rebuild the team? I don't know. I don't know if he can or not. Because do we look at the past decade? What have they really done besides gone to the Super Bowl in 2010 and lost to Rodgers? I mean, ever since then they can't get past. They couldn't get past Brady. They couldn't get past Manning the year they probably could when he was at Denver that year. And it just, I don't know. I mean, do I want Tomlin to lose a job? No. But I just think it's time to rebuild and do a fresh start. So that's just my opinion.
Yep, Tim, appreciate the phone call. Now, a little bit different because he won a Super Bowl going back to that 2008 season. If Mike Tomlin got fired by the Pittsburgh Steelers, which personally I would not move on from. He'd be the hottest coaching commodity on the market. He'd be higher number one in the next offseason. But let's say they get through this year and it doesn't go the way that they wanted to and they elected to move on from Mike Tomlin. It would not surprise me, and I think this could raise a few eyebrows now with the way that we perceive Andy Reid in Kansas City, but I would say that Mike Tomlin, if he did get fired, the next team that he would go to, he would be a consistent winner. Now, I'm not telling you they definitely win a Super Bowl because Mahomes is a big factor out of that. But if Tomlin goes somewhere else, he'll be like Andy Reid, where he had a really successful first chapter where Tomlin won a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. Andy Reid got very close, got the 5 NFC championships, won Super Bowl game with the Philadelphia Eagles. And then he showed you in Kansas City, yes, you may have wanted to move on because you thought it was time to part ways and it was time to say goodbye to me. But now, if you ask Philadelphia, who has went from Chip to Doug, they did win a Super Bowl, and then now they're on Nick Sirianni, I wonder what Eagles fans would say if you go back, would you rather just kept Andy Reid? And I think Steelers fans, you may want to be careful for what you wish for if you're in the get Tomlin out of town camp. And I'm not saying you don't have a right to be disappointed, because I do look back at the last decade and it was disappointing for the Steelers. But there's a difference of being disappointing and being bad and being disappointing and good. And yes, with Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben, and AB, they should have won a Super Bowl and they did not. And yes, I agree with Tim. When they lost in that Super Bowl 52 season in the divisional round to Jacksonville, that's when the window really did close, now looking back at it. And they're not going to win a Super Bowl this year. When you look, though, at what Tomlin's done, he's been in the league since 2007. He's never had a losing season. 10-6, 12-4, 9-7, 12-4, 12-4, back-to-back 88 years, then 11-5, 10-6, 11-5, 13-3, 9-6-1, 8-8. And this past year, he was 12-4. So I would not even consider, even if they go 7-9 this year, and he finally has a losing season, I would not consider yet getting rid of Mike Tomlin. And there would be a lot of coaches lining up for the services of Mike Tomlin because he is a really damn good coach. He's 145, 78, and 1 in the regular season in his first 14 years as a head coach. And in the postseason, he's 8-8. So you could draw, minus the ring in Philadelphia, the Andy Reid type of comparison. And be careful what you wish for if you want him out. And then you may be in a spot through a few coaches, and I know the Eagles did win a Super Bowl, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it is down the road, where you're going, man, I really wish we had that Tomlin guy back. They need a quarterback. There's no secret about it. And with the guys on the roster right now, I know Charlie Batch told us last night, the front office likes Mason Rudolph. That's why they're not going to pick a quarterback with the 24th pick in the draft. Baloney to me. Not saying that Charlie's information is wrong. They may like him. Why do you like Mason Rudolph? after seeing what he's done so far, there's no way you could actually think, with an offensive line now in question, with probably losing Juju, but you do have the good year one of Chase Claypool, with no run game, there's no way you think that if Mason Rudolph was handed the baton right now, that he would do well this year. And even if you gave him a year after that with the full offseason to really go with Mason Rudolph as your guy, I would not expect the Steelers to be a successful product these next 2 years. So they got to find who that next guy is. And I'm okay with bringing Ben back this year because there's not another option. There's not a better option. What are you going to, Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins? PU. I'm not on board with that. So when I see this Steelers team, I'm not bringing Ben back. If I was running the Steelers, I'm not bringing Ben back thinking, man, we're going to win a Super Bowl. We're going to put this together. I'm bringing Ben back because I think he could play another 2-3 years. I'm bringing Ben back because I have no other damn choice. I got nothing else there. And that's not inspiring to me. So when I ask this question, are the Steelers going to make the playoffs in 2021? I know some are going to roll their eyes and go, Zach, they were 12-4. They started out the year 11-0. Like, give them some credit, even though they had a disastrous finish and they got blown out by Cleveland at home. There's a legitimate chance the Steelers don't make the playoffs this upcoming year. I don't see them winning the division. We give you the three options. Division champs, you make the playoffs. Wild card team, you make the playoffs. Or you just flat out miss the playoffs. I think the least likely or the least likely thing to occur out of those three options is that they win the division. Baltimore's a better team. And even if, let's say, Baltimore unfortunately suffers a big-time injury to Lamar Jackson, which no one wants to see. But let's say if it goes the worst thing possible for the Ravens, I trust Cleveland now a whole lot more than Pittsburgh. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Oh, this microphone's on. Yes, this is 2021. I trust Cleveland more than Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh's the third best team in this division. Because I'm not going to put the Bengals in front of them, even though I like Joe Burrow. They need to fix that offensive line. And I still don't know what Zach Taylor is as a head coach. I don't believe in Zach Taylor. It would not surprise me after this year or in 2 years from now, the Bengals have a new head football coach. I actually expect it. So when we get into the conversation then, if I take the AFC North in 2021 off the table for the Steelers, who have a good defense, but they have legitimate concerns offensively. And let's assume Ben does come back. Is it wildcard team or is it they just missed the playoffs? So let's go through the teams that will, in my opinion, definitely be playoff teams in 2021. Buffalo, Kansas City, the Ravens, and also the Browns. Those are the four teams that I don't think they miss the playoffs. Browns, Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. Now, I have to give you one AFC South winner. Do I trust the Titans over the Steelers? I do. And I don't even love Tennessee. I don't love Ryan Tannehill, but I love Derrick Henry. I don't love their defense. Sure, the Steelers have a much better defense, but I expect more out of Tannehill, Henry, and Brown than anything what the Steelers have running back for this upcoming year. So Tennessee, that's five teams. Because I give you Tennessee, the Ravens, the Browns, the Chiefs, and the Bills. So you got two spots left. Let's say that Tua Tagovailoa is with the Dolphins. I would slightly give the edge to the Steelers over the Dolphins. Let's look at the AFC South, the Colts. I would still say, whew, now that's tough. That's really tough. Because both teams have really good defenses. And I still like Ben over Carson. But you look at the run game and the offensive line for Indianapolis, it runs circles around the Steelers. It does. And you know why? Yesterday I probably would have said the Steelers. Here's why I'll go with the Colts now. Colts got a better shot of winning that division than the Steelers do winning their division. They do. It's a one-team race. That it's one other team, so a two-team race that the Colts have to worry about. In the North, for the Steelers to win that division, you got to worry about two other teams. So with that division in the North being better, and with the Texans probably not having Watson, with the Jaguars not knowing what to expect year one of Lawrence and Urban Meyer, I would say right now, and I probably would not have said this yesterday, that the Colts would have a slight, even with the questions at quarterback, a slight edge over the Steelers. So that's six teams right there. So the Steelers, what I'm saying is they're going to be a 6 or 7 seed. That's what they're going to be contending for. And does a team like the Chargers knock the Steelers off their perch? Does a team like the Broncos or the Raiders, I don't love the Raiders, do they knock that team off their perch? Do the Patriots, depending on what Belichick does this year, do they knock the Steelers off their perch? So here's what I'd say to you right now to answer the question, because I don't think they're winning the North. Is it wild card team or is it no playoffs? When I sit here on the 24th day of February in the year of 2021, the early prediction, I would say the Steelers are either the 6th or 7th seed. That's where I would go with 6th or 7th seed. They would just make the playoffs. But if you have a real competitive field where a 10-win Miami team didn't make the playoffs last year, there's a legit shot the Steelers don't make the playoffs, even with Ben, as we think and we're operating under the belief that he's going to come back. QB Carousel next. We'll take two stops. You'll find out where those two stops are next on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.